Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, what do the dead want? A conversation with Thomas Edward. Investigating the dead is not an easy job. No case is the same, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution to calming a haunt. Thomas Edward is one such investigator that knows it all too well. He's had a fascination with the paranormal since having several haunting childhood experiences. Today, we discuss life investigating private homes as well as well-known haunts, such as the haunted Hinsdale House in the West Virginia Penitentiary. On The Grave Talks.
So it goes back pretty far. I remember my first experience was when I was 7 years old, and that really got the passion going. I had this experience in a house we lived in. We lived in a duplex at the time when I was young, and my father was a police officer and he worked overnights. So my mom, my sister and I, we went out to dinner for the night, and it was a winter evening, and we came home and every single door and window in the house was open. Figuring someone had broken into the house, my mom called the police.
Sure.
When they came, they went through the house. Nothing was out of place. There was no forced entry or anything like that. The doors had been unlocked and opened, as well as the windows. So that kind of, like, that piqued my interest, especially after, you know, the more I lived in that house, just the weird things that would happen and the basement, especially, which was a very, very old-looking basement, and it just had this vibe to it that was just dark and foreboding, I guess would be the correct word I would use.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really like staying down there when I was a kid much because it just kind of freaked me out. So my toys and stuff were down there, so I'd always bring them upstairs.
Well, I know this is kind of difficult to probably remember, but what was your mom and dad's reaction to the doors and windows all being open? Especially, you know, once the police came, they took a look and they said they were all unlocked. There was no robbery. Everything was in its place, but these things were all open. I mean, you know, you're the little kid and you can kind of hear mom and dad discussing things maybe in the other room or whatnot. But what's your memory of their reaction at that time?
So their reaction, and it's still to this day, because I'll often bring it up to them when I speak to them,
mm-hmm.
It's still the fact that they believe someone broke in the house.
Okay.
They say there's no other explanation it could be besides someone broke in and as a prank or something opened all the doors and windows.
Okay.
Now, granted, at that time also, we had gone to the next door of the duplex.
Mm-hmm.
There was an older woman that lived there. And she was home the entire time, and she said if someone had broken in, she would have heard them. But it was silent. The whole entire house was silent.
So their staunch feeling on this from then to today is still someone broke in and they were playing games with you mentally by leaving all the doors and windows open. You had alluded that other things had happened in that house as well, other than just the windows and doors and the basement having a creepy vibe to it. What were some of the other events that occurred in that house for you?
So I had a room that was up on the second floor along with my parents' room and my sister's room. So all the bedrooms are up on the second floor. And every night that I lived in that house, something would wake me up at about 3 a.m. It was every night, and I'd end up sleeping on my parents' floor because whatever it was would, kind of scare me so much that I would go sleep on their floor. And it was, at the time it was a real problem for them because I was coming in the room every night at 3 in the morning. But there was just something that kept waking me up. I remember also this other time where I did actually wake up, and I actually went to the window, and it was 3 a.m. And I don't know how to explain it in other than it was just some sort of light that was outside the house. It was on the ground, so ground level, and I'm on the second floor, and it was just a light moving. I have no explanation for what it could have been. It did not look like it was someone with a flashlight or anything like that. It was just this ball of light, and then it eventually went around the side of the house, so I couldn't see anymore, and I never saw it any other time.
Would you describe it today as kind of orb-like?
Yeah, I would say now that I've you know, grown in my experiences, I'd say, yeah, it was orb light, and it emitted its own light mm-hmm. as well. So I know it wasn't a reflection of anything.
So you
know, when you explain that to an adult, they're yeah. like, oh, it was just someone outside with a flashlight.
Sure. I mean, then it sounds like that was, you know, when you would bring those things up, that's what you would hear.
Oh, yes.
Was that it? Was there anything else that had occurred in that house that really stood out to you as being, you know, this is obviously evidence of something else going on in this house?
It would just be simple things like the TV remote would go missing. Things would be rearranged how they were. It was later on, like years and years later, when I grew up and we had moved out of that house, that, you know, me and my sister had spoken, and she had experiences as well that I never knew about because she never brought them up to anybody. Mm-hmm. But she'd have things go missing in her room. Her door would just randomly open on its own when she was sitting in there doing her homework and things like that. So it was like very just subtle things. It was, although I will say the basement itself, though, was probably the weirdest part of that house. And it wasn't so much that anything really happened down there. It's just like you just walk down there and like your hair on your arms would just stand up. And it just felt like there was so much like static energy down there mm-hmm. And it just had this feeling that you just wanted to get out of there.
When you look back on the house today, have you been able to do any research or any looking into the history of that house or trying to understand what that was going on there?
The only things I could find was that the house itself was built in like the 1940s, and it was built as a duplex. So it's always been a duplex. Mm-hmm. I was never able to find if anyone had passed away in the house or anything like that. I've never visited the house again, mainly because there's, you know, people that live there.
Sure.
I don't want to disturb them or cause them any issues in case maybe they're experiencing something now. It would be interesting, though, to reach out and see if they have, whoever's living there, if they've had experiences. But I don't know if I want to disrupt someone's life like that.
Yeah, I mean, especially if things are not going on for them. Hey, yeah. By the way, and to this day, what is your, I know you told me your parents' opinion on what happened with the supposed break-in incident, but do they feel that there is anything paranormal with the house, or is it mainly you and your sister?
Just me and my sister. So my parents are like very, very skeptical. Mm-hmm. They're very, my mom was raised Catholic, as was my dad. So they're very much, you know, not a believer in the paranormal aspect of things and more or less just, oh, I must have misplaced that item or I must have moved it and don't remember.
Sure.
And they're still that way to this day. So to
your knowledge, they didn't have anything happen to them other than the break-in, seemingly break-in incident as far as what they've ever shared with you.
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Do you suspect there may be some things that have happened that they just aren't sharing?
I have a feeling that they've experienced things. And the house that they live in currently, I've even experienced things in their own house now. So I have a feeling like probably deep down, you know, they know that something was going on. Mm-hmm. They just don't like to admit it.
Sure. And that's a common thing. I mean, obviously we understand sometimes it's, you know, everybody has different coping mechanisms for dealing with what's going on. And that may just be how they've handled it. Tell me more about after, you know, you have these experiences in childhood and you obviously grow up. Tell me more about what progressed for you in terms of your interest in the paranormal as you grew?
So, yeah, as I grew up, I started, you know, especially as I got into my teenage years, Started, you know, looking in and watching all the TV shows that were coming out. One of the big ones, of course, at the time was Ghost Hunters when I was younger. That was a big one. And then I sat there watching these shows and I'm like, wow, there's people that actually go out and search for the afterlife. I was like, this is something that I'm interested in and something that I could do. So I grew up in that respect and started, you know, kind of just doing things on my own, which I highly don't recommend to people.
Okay.
One of the earliest experiences I have when I was older was I was 18 or 19. And I went to, we have here in Buffalo, we have a Buffalo Psych Center, mm-hmm. it's called. And it's a really old 1800-ish building that looks like a castle, sure. but it housed mentally handicapped people.
Sure.
It was shut down at the time, and I kind of maybe broke into it. I say don't do it on your own for this specific reason. So I went in there, and everything was fine at first. I was exploring it and finding some really interesting things, like electric chairs in the basement, because apparently they did electric shock therapy down there with an electric chair, which I thought was interesting. But then I came across someone who was on some type of drug, mm-hmm. and pretty much started chasing me around the building until I could get out. Mm-hmm. So I usually caution people in that respect to be careful if you're going to do it on your own, or to maybe find another person that has interest in it. So after I had that experience, I was like, well, I should probably find someone or other people that had an interest in doing this as well. It took a little bit, but eventually in my early 20s, I found some friends from a college I was attending who were very interested in it as well. So we just started, you know, looking for places that would let us come and investigate.
So obviously you go into a place, sometimes the living can be far scarier than the dead in a location like that. And that I think is something I do not do investigating, you know, unless, I mean, it's like I'm literally, you know, at a location and it's known for something, I may snap some pictures on the outside. But I don't go in, and it's not necessarily just out of fear. It's just not what I do. But that's something that does always run through my mind of like, if I do get kind of the itch of, oh, it'd be really neat to go into that building. My fear is not so much, you know, that of finding the ghosts. It's of finding the meth head that is in there with a knife or something.
That was my fear. I always say I'm more afraid of the living than of the dead.
Yeah. And that, and for good reason. I mean, luckily, I mean, what's really neat now is we live in a world where so many locations like that now have been adopted or purchased and are being either rehabilitated or at least trying to be maintained as best they can, so that people can go in there and have those experiences without necessarily the high risk of running into that anymore. But certainly those structures still exist, and they're out there, and you know, they're calling to people to go and go into them, whether they legally should or not, or safely should or not, is a whole other story. So tell me, you got some friends together, you have this common idea of, you know, we're interested in the paranormal, but what is the goal? What's the goal when you're now an adult, you're deciding to go into this and do this for some interest? Is there anything other than let's try and find evidence, or are you setting out with a greater goal in mind of investigating the paranormal?
So yeah, my goal in the beginning, I was, you know, I was young and I was like, I just want to go see if I can get some ghosts, you know, like that was my attitude when I was young.
Sure.
You know, the more I did it and the more I grew as a person and I got a little older, it became more of a self goal to find out what exactly happens after we pass on.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.